difficult to understand, and Revelation is probably one of the easiest. Maybe it's because I'm under that thing up there. Should I back up? Okay, we'll go ahead and pray while he's figuring it out. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, I do ask that you to help us to understand your words. And Lord, the ones involved with the play, we're concentrating on that. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be able to concentrate on your words right now, that we might learn from your word, that it might be clear, that we might understand your words, that you might help us to be faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you got figured out in there. Okay, Zechariah 6, the first 8 verses. Somebody's really happy. Okay, Zechariah 6, the first 8 verses, when we read down through them, we'll see a similarity with Revelation 6. Okay, remember 6 is a number for man. So I'll read Zechariah 6, 1 through 8, and then we'll go run over to Revelation 6. And it says, "And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came 4 chariots out from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass." Brass is generally used in the Bible for judgment. Okay, and then it says, "In the first chariot." Now, here in the Old Testament, it includes the chariot. In Revelation, it just mentions the horses. So the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot, black horses, and the third chariot, white horses, and in the fourth chariot, gristled and bay horses. "Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the 4 spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." Okay, so here it's quite obvious. He says it in verse 5. These 4 chariots are representing 4 different types of spirits. It doesn't say clean or unclean, that are like at the 4 corners of the earth. And then these spirits will blow through the earth. These spirits will take words and blow them through the earth. Those words will hit people's minds, and then they will act upon their free will to act according to those words. Okay, remember that God speaks to us by words. And so words, as I'm expressing words, my spirit is breathing out those words. And then possibly God's Spirit is empowering those words. If the words are incorrect, maybe an unclean spirit will strengthen or empower those words. And those words go out and read into, go into the spirit of people's minds, and then they act accordingly. How they wish. Do they reject the words? Do they accept the words? Okay, and so this is the way God and Satan influences people. Satan cannot read our mind, but he can put thoughts in our mind. Okay, and this is less like if you're riding a car, one person breaks a silence and says something, and then the other person said, "You know, I was just thinking about that." Okay, and the reason why those words came through and it registered in both minds, but one verbalized it. So in the Bible, it says in Job 26, "And to whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee?" So there's one of 3 spirits that can utter, that can come from the mouth of anybody, saved or lost: God's spirit, man's spirit, or the devil's unclean spirits. Those are the 3. And then you got animal spirits that are on the side there. Okay, but in this context, these spirits are referring to angels that are sent out to influence people, be it good, be it bad. Okay, that's the one described here in chapter 6, verse 5. These are the 4 spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So it's like they have given an order, and now they go on out. Okay, so we're thinking, since it's from the Lord, they probably were good spirits. Yeah, but 1 Samuel 16:12 says that an evil spirit of the Lord was sent to Saul and indwelt him, or influenced him, or whatever. So these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. And the black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, north of Israel. Immediately north of Israel would be Lebanon. And then up in the northern region, Asia Minor, would be modern-day Turkey. Okay, up in that area. Some may want to take it further into Russia, but I would say it's mainly in the Middle East area. And the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. So they're obviously heading in different directions to influence a body of people. Okay, and the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Sort of kind of like the devil walking as a lion roaring about seeking whom he may devour. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So these spirits are quieting God's spirit in the north country, north there, so there's less influence for God's work. Okay, so that's 1-8. Old Testament, Zechariah is given a prophecy. It may have an immediate fulfillment, you know, within just a few years. But it seems like this takes us a couple thousand years later into the tribulation time period, as that's the most important doctrine of the Bible, the second coming of Christ, and then what precedes it, the tribulation. So he's got the same colored horses, but he's using them as a different influence, as the spirits are involved. Let's try Revelation 6. Okay, Revelation 6, anybody who studies the Bible knows that Revelation has prophetic information. And the prophecies of the Bible is what verifies the Bible. The predictions, the details. And Revelation 6, it doesn't mention chariots, it just mentions somebody on a horse. Now he's got four horses. These are the four, the first four are seal judgments. And then the fifth, sixth, and seventh doesn't have an animal associated with them. The fifth judgment would be Jews being sacrificed in the Jewish temple. Human sacrifice, their blood caught, drank, and their body flayed, according to Micah chapter 3, and eaten, okay, by the Antichrist and his understudies. I don't know if you look at these judgments or these sealed judgments, if year number one has the white horse, the Antichrist being revealed, year number two, maybe the red horse where you got a world war. Maybe year number three, the black horse, where you got a drought. Year number four, where you got another judgment. Or they're all right at the front. I don't really know. I don't think anybody's going to figure it out. Okay, it appears to me that Daniel's 70th week has about 2,300 years possibly left to it. Maybe not a full 7 years, but most certainly more than 3.5. Okay, and so it appears. And again, I think a person has to be honest where you can't pin it down. It seems to appear that the first portion until that middle part, the world is going to be relatively peaceful, even though he's going to have skirmishes here and there. They're going to have a worldwide financial prosperity because he's going to make up all this credit system. And then when the Antichrist demands worship, in the middle there, okay, that's when everything starts really going bad. Okay, and that's where the fifth seal might be starting the second half, if we're going to call it a half. So Revelation 6, we'll run through some of these. Unfortunately, the commentators will tell us that the rider on the white horse of Revelation 6 is Jesus Christ. Because they run that back to Revelation 9, the rider and the white horse there is obviously Jesus Christ. But this is a counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, and he does most everything God does in counterfeit. Okay, you can just go multiple things where the Antichrist or the devil is going to parallel God's work. Okay, and you can just start running it and see it, and they're side by side, and sometimes it looks like they're working side by side. Okay, where when David was tempted by Satan to number the kingdom, the cross-reference says that the Lord moved David to number the kingdom. So what was it, the Lord or Satan? Or both? Okay, and so, and in our country, being we have a Christian heritage, okay, in our country, especially our country, you don't see it in others, you might faintly see it, but in our country, you see that Christianity and the New World Order and company has run side by side since the beginning. Okay, the Illuminatis began May 1st, 1776, and then our country publicly declared its independence July 4th, 1776. And I would, if we look back at the history of America, I would say the Federalist, Alexander Hamilton and company, were trying to establish the Illuminati New World Order. And then the Anti-Federalist, Patrick Henry and that crowd, was trying to establish Christianity. And the common people and the churches of the day, especially the Presbyterian and the Baptist, the Methodists didn't really get into action until the 1800s, was having great revivals, and Christianity was just really booming at that time. But we have them both side by side. This is why you can go to a government complex and you'll see symbolism of Christianity and symbolism of Satanism side by side. Okay, so we see that in our culture, if a person is in tune to and sees the signs. So Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, or verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So when the Lamb of God is opening the seal, he obviously isn't the rider on the horse of verse 2. He does show up later, Revelation 19. And when I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, and heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, the mystery bow man, where he takes a bow and an arrow, and he flings the two fingers out when he shoots that, and he got two, the number for, people think peace, but that's the number for attack, a war. Okay, and it says, and a crown is given unto him, but the one in 19 has multiple crowns. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So this is the Antichrist. Alexander the Great would be portraying him. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." So here's the second one. And there went out another horse that was red. And power is given to him that sat upon to take peace from the earth. So now we're going to have worldwide war. Matthew 24, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. Now, wouldn't that be a tough one to obey? I mean, we hear all this stuff breaking out, especially if it's on your country. Now, our country has been quite fortunate where I don't think any of us are old enough to remember the experience of war on our country. Was anybody living in Hawaii in 1941? Okay, that was it, the last time. You say 911, no, that wasn't, no. That was an inside job. Back in those days, we haven't experienced war in our country. That's a blessing. That is a tremendous blessing. Okay, and if you get an opportunity to go to Israel, and you'll see, you can just sense the tension. Just where you walk, you sense it. And then you look at the stone buildings, and you'll see where there's somebody shooting up there, and somebody shooting up there. And every house got, you know, a bomb shelter and gas masks. Does anybody have gas masks at their house? beside me? Peterson still do? Josh, do you? Okay, and so that was from our 911 days, or Y2K days, yeah. Still glad I got them. Okay, but in Israel, that's what they have. And if you rode mass transit, if somebody sat beside you, it's kind of got a beefy around here. Is that guy going to explode himself? Okay, that's what Jews have to live with. So in this one, verse 4, he's going to have power to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given on him a great sword. So just killing everywhere. The next one, and when he had opened this third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and behold, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. What are the balances for? It's to weigh food and to weigh money. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not to oil and wine." Okay, a penny is a day's wage. Now, we know the penny is a little zinc thing, used to be copper. Okay, but in the Bible, remember those people worked for a penny. So it's a day's wage for one person, a day's pay for one person. A measure of wheat is one meal for one person. A measure of wheat for a penny. So the price is skyrocketed. So one meal of wheat, bread, wheat, cereal, however you want to make the wheat, or if you want to take the wheat and just chew it in your mouth and it turns into gum, if you keep chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it, okay, that is one day's work for one meal for one person. Okay, so if you got husband and wife, somebody's out. Now, if a guy says, "Okay, I'm going to go the barley route, and I can get 3 measures of barley, so I can get 3 meals for one person for one day's wage." Somebody's starving. Okay, and this will be a 3.5-year drought during the tribulation where Moses and Elijah will shut the water off. So that's most droughts or most famines in many countries are actually caused by governing authorities. Meaning, if some country in Africa is having, you know, a drought and America feels sorry for them and sends the food over there, the tyrants in charge of the country control what's brought into the country, so they will use it for more political clout. And Americans aren't thinking that we're just feeding the tyrants more. Now, unless you can get it to a missionary in that country where you really know that person's trying to help them out, that's different. So this black horse is a picture of famine. And then number 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the beast say, "Come and see," and looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, uppercase D, so this is death personified, and hell followed him. So everybody who dies from this judgment goes to hell, every one of them. And how many people die? And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Okay, so beasts of the earth, 4-legged animals, or you know, you get into the real weird stuff, the scientific stuff, or the science fiction stuff. Okay, so if we got, 6 billion? They're saying about 7 billion, maybe over 7 billion. Take a fourth of that, make it 6 billion, take a fourth of that, 1.5 billion from one judgment. The only one singing the happies on that would be the morticians. But even they won't be getting anything out of that because the animals will be eating the bodies. So that's just one judgment. Then if you get into the trumpet judgments, it mentions another place where 1/3 of all men will die. So if you take that 1/3 of all population, I don't know. I don't think so. It looks like it's just the men. But you're still talking about a lot of people dead. Again, is this why FEMA's got all these caskets? You know? I'm certainly, and this is this why the Postal Service and many federal agencies buying all sorts of ammunition? We can hope. We can hope. You know, where obviously they got to get ready for these things. You know, the devil is moving on these things. And so that's the first horses there, four of them. It is a parallel of Zechariah, but Zechariah is dealing with the spirits behind it. Zechariah 6, verse 9, they had a paragraph mark. So prophecies of the Bible, and some of us are, if you're really in tune to it, you're starting to see that these things are being set up. And, you know, personally, I'm surprised the Lord hadn't come back yet. If he had read the books I read, he would have been back. But I don't know. And I would dare say the Lord's just waiting for the church to go absolutely asleep. And that's why this last thing back last September, I lost a lot of hope in that, because all these charismatics picked up on it, and I'm thinking, hey, if they're jumping on it, I'm jumping off. And we see that nothing really happened. Okay, verse 9, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, so Zechariah, now this guy is seeing these prophetic things a couple thousand years in the future, and if you and I can't figure it out, I bet you he had a hard time with it. And he says, take of them of the captivity, even Heldai of Tobijah of Jediah, which came from Babylon. So here we are, got Iraq. And come thou the same day and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of, Jose, as they say over there. The high priest. So he's taken something to make crowns, implying somebody is going to be rewarded with these crowns. Somebody's going to earn a martyr's crown. James 1:12 writes about that, and Revelation 2:10 writes about a martyr's crown. Joshua is portraying the high priest of Israel, and the tribulation time period is solely about Israel. Okay, and this is a thing that's it's hitting the churches pretty heavy now. Kent Hovind got out of prison, and so he's been doing some videos. And he has, because he's not a true Bible believer, he's got a lot of great stuff. But he is not a Bible believer from his own admission. I've heard it time and time again from watching his things. And now he has jumped on the idea that the church is going into the tribulation. Okay, you can look at it online. And I watch it because I wanted to see maybe a different viewpoint. Because what if we're wrong? If a person has a truth, you ought to be able to listen to somebody speak against what you're saying and then be honest and analyze it. Well, he starts this little video and he talks about Daniel's 70 weeks. And he talks about that, and he says, exactly as the Bible says, that this is dealing with Israel and Jerusalem. And I'm saying, amen. He's right. But then he jumps on the 70th week, and then he says about the church being in the 70th week. I said, man, you just said 10 minutes earlier in the video, it's all about Jerusalem, and it's all about Israel. Why did you jump? Why did you shift? And this is often what a false doctrine does. It speaks against itself. It's self-contradictory. And then he tried to put it that the church is raptured out, the pre-wrath, just prior to the second coming at the end. Man, oh man, the tribulation time period is solidly about Israel. That's clearly what Daniel 9:24 says. And don't let all this other confusion. Here's what's done. Here's what they've done is they've seen some difficult passages, and they've allowed the difficult to override the clear and simple. And that's often what heresy does. You never, I mean, if you're going to study trigonometry, it's not going to change 2 plus 2 is 4. That's clear, simple. And so it is quite obvious, it is quite clear that the 70 weeks of Daniel that turns into 490 years is about Jerusalem and the people of God, Israelites. The church has to be gone. He's got to get us out of the way. The church and Israel are not the same. They will never be the same. Why? Because they're spelled different. is two different groups of people. And I see, I watch these guys, and I if they're going to argue with it about it, I'll just smile and say, well, you'll be pleasantly surprised. And if you're right, I'll figure it out when the Antichrist shows up. It's a big deal. You know? I had one guy, he was going to look at a couple of our videos, and I knew that he was one of these guys think he's going to the tribulation. And so when he was getting ready to take the videos, I couldn't wait till he got back and ask him about them. Hey, he said, did you get to watch them videos over the weekend? He said, no, I look like one of them pre-tribulation rapture videos. Is that what they are? I said, tag, that's it. I said, so you're going in the trib, huh? He said, well, I don't want to. I said, pal, you don't have to. He said, well, I said, good luck. Why? If he wants to go into it, go ahead. Okay, but obviously, we got to get out of here. But in verse 11, there is some crowns that's going to be passed out, and that'll be people who are faithful unto the end, Matthew 24. And then verse 12, he said, speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, and that phrase is 50 times through Zechariah, Lord of hosts, army, attacking, fighting, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, uppercase, Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. The temple that he's going to build is described in detail, Ezekiel 40 to 48. And that is pretty boring material. I mean, you got some stuff in there. If you're having a hard time sleeping, read that and you'll go to sleep. But it is about the temple of the Lord, and that's the glorious temple of the millennial time period. Verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. There's evidence, a second witness, that this is the glory, the second coming, tribulation, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, the throne of David, in Jerusalem. Another witness, we're setting on pretty good ground here. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, Jesus Christ, his prophet, priest, and king. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Okay, and so he is the prince of peace. We're going to have worldwide peace in a millennial time period. And the crown shall be to Helam and to Tobijah and Jedidiah and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Who are those guys? Not a clue. Okay, but there they are. And it's a memorial in the temple of the Lord. 15, and they that are far off. Far off. Generally, that refers to Gentiles. But in this case, also referring to the Jewish people. Isaiah 11, verse 10 and 12, where they are scattered throughout the world, just like James 1, verse 1 says, and they that are far off shall come and build. They're coming back to build in the temple of the Lord. Okay, and then of course the Lord's going to be doing this, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, and this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So this is a promise when you run verse 9. Okay, 1 through 8, it's dealing with spirits influencing the world through the tribulation time period, historically back in those days. And in verse 9 and following, Zechariah is giving some information going into the second coming of Christ, the Jewish temple, the millennial temple, the peace that he's going to have, the glory that Jesus Christ is going to display, the greatest doctrine of the Bible. And then verse 15, it's the restoration of the nation of Israel back to the earthly kingdom. Okay, the Jewish remnant of that survived through the tribulation and remained faithful, and the martyrs of the tribulation will be inheritors of the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then he's going to transfer that to a new covenant, Hebrews chapter 8. And then, if you run to the end of chapter 8, verse 23, that's when a person will say, I'm going to grab unto the skirt of him that's a Jew. So the Gentiles will come to the Jewish people, and the Jewish remnant will become the religious priest to help guide them throughout the millennial time period. Okay, then we can start chapter 7. Okay, we're going to stop there, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to be faithful to your words, understand them. I pray that the Spirit of God would guide us into all truth so that we might see the great promises of this book and the great prophecies. In Jesus' name, amen.